Good morning, Grow Church. I think we'll start with a prayer. Thank you, God. I just want to thank you for this day. I ask for your guidance today. I just ask your Holy Spirit to guide me now and let my words be your words. I ask that people's hearts be open. And I just pray your Holy Spirit come upon us and that we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as you may guess today, I am going to be talking about deception, but not the TV show, although the trailer was helpful. Today, the question I want you to ask yourself is, am I being deceived? So, Jay, can I have my first? Thank you, sweetie. So, last week, my truther brother down there, Matt, he spoke about what is truth. And Matt covered the difference between what the world sees as truth and the real truth being Jesus the Christ. Today, I'm going to look mainly at the two types of deception spoken about in the clip. Deception from others and deception from ourselves. So how do you know if you're being deceived? Well, according to Google, which is very reliable, to deceive, you must deliberately cause someone to believe something that is not true, especially for personal gain. Give someone a mistaken impression, and even failing to admit to yourself that something is true. You usually don't know at the time. It's usually after a dramatic event happens, then you can see in hindsight. Like a magic trick. You're taken along the ride of an illusion, and it's not until the conclusion that you find out that you've been deceived. So let's look at the greatest deception, the one that changed everything. So slide, Jay, thanks. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, and I'm going to read the New Living Translation. The man and woman sin. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any tree in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat of it or even touch it or you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it. You'd be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. So let's start with others who deceive. Thanks, Jay. So whether you're aware of it or not, we're being deceived by others every day. Turn on the TV. Watch ads. Social media. Buy this, you'll be fitter, look better, get richer, look younger, you know, be thinner, find your perfect partner, and so on. This constant bombardment of lies and false promises are so immersed in our brains every day that we don't even know we're being deceived. Just look at the sales. Pastor Michael said the other week about it. We've just had Christmas and then the Black Friday sales. And now there's Australian Day sales, and then they're already selling hot cross buns. And the media is always convincing us on things that we don't even know that we wanted, like new technology, the latest phone, latest gadget, compulsive consumerism. So in the reading, we see the serpent deceived Eve. Now, the Hebrew word used here for serpent comes from a root word, Nochash. So I hope I said that right. Yeah. Did I say it right, James? No, I didn't. However, the meaning is interesting. So it's got to hiss, whisper a magical spell, prognosticate, which means to foretell, prophesy, divine enchanter, learn by experience, diligently observe. observe. So think about that. The serpent, the divine enchanter, whisperer of a magical spell, was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And what did this whisperer serpent say to Eve? Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit or from any trees in the garden? Doubt. The first of the enemy's tricks, doubt. Doubt God's word, doubt yourself, doubt others, doubt what you should do. You notice the subtlety of the twist of this as a seed of doubt is planted. A bit of truth flavoured heavily with doubt. Have you heard those whispers? Seeds of doubt clouding your mind and confusing you. 1 Corinthians 14:33a in the ESV says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." In verses 4 and 5, the serpent hits again with convicting doubt, telling Eve she won't die, that she will be like God, knowing both good and evil. He plays to her weaknesses, her desires, so convincingly she believes him. We perceive Eve to fall quickly, but how does doubt suddenly become deception? Through justification. We need to remember that Adam and Eve were highly intelligent adults. How do we know they're intelligent? Well, Adam named every animal. And I don't know about you, but I had enough trouble naming my children. While Adam and Eve were intelligent, they were childlike in their thinking, naive and pure. They didn't have the knowledge of good and evil then. Think about your children. They can easily be deceived and manipulated. They are trusting and believe what people say to them. Adam and Eve were no different. The justification of the serpent would make sense to Eve, especially playing to her desires. 26 years ago, I was deceived, to the point that it changed my life and the life of my family forever. I know right from wrong, but this person knew my weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and like Eve, I fell for the lie. I met this person who seemed like a strong Christian. He was going to Bible college, a reverend, a walking miracle of God. He'd been healed. He was charismatic, funny, charming. And I became enthralled by this person. We would have long discussions about scriptural things. And I fell for his charm, and a year later we were married. And as far as those around me and myself were concerned, it was a happy marriage, almost textbook. Perfect down to the white little picket fence out the front of the house, which ain't there no more. Fast forward 3.5 years to when Chelly was about 5.5 months, and I woke up one morning and he was gone. There was no warning, nothing to say he was going, just gone. And to cut a very long story short, I found out everything, and I do mean everything, he told me about himself was a lie. He wasn't a reverend, hadn't been healed or even injured in the way he had said. The Bible college had thrown him out because of all the lies he had told. And on top of it, we weren't even legally married. No, he was married to someone else when he married me. So can you imagine waking up tomorrow and finding your partner or loved one gone? No explanation, no trace. Then finding out everything about them was a lie. The level of deception was so incredibly deep and explosive. It made me face, understand, and detest the deception of Satan. It made me want to fight for those around me, not to fall for his lies. I learned through that time how the devil deceives, how he takes a bit of truth and he stretches it over a bunch of lies. How people prefer to look at the outer layer of truth but ignore the lies and corruption. Satan will use complacency for his wicked schemes, manipulation of people by telling them things they want to hear. Next slide, thanks, Jay. So 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." And we're in that time. "The things I can now see in my ex was the lack of fruit. There was false fruit. Oh, he could certainly talk the talk. But once that outer layer was gone, you could see he wasn't walking the walk." Next one, Jay. Matthew 7:15-17 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased trees bear bad fruit." I love that picture. Next one, thanks, Jay. And John 8:44 ESV says, "You are your father, the devil, and your will is to do the father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And again, I had to put that cartoon in. I couldn't go past that. You know how you can tell when you are lying? Your lips are moving, which is exactly what happens with Satan, isn't it? So look beyond the outer layer. As Matthew 10:16 says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep amidst the wolves. So be as wise as serpent and as innocent as doves. Love others, but use discernment." Okay, my second point, self-deception. We see in verses 2 and 3 that Eve answers back, appearing to stand her ground. But how Eve answers back is by using her own words and adding some. Okay, next one. Thanks, Jay. We read in Genesis 2:16-17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" God didn't mention about not touching it. Eve used her own words instead of God's. She changed God's words from looking at what she could have to do to what she couldn't. Eve was battling the serpent by using her words and perspective, and not God's, and she ended up falling for his wicked schemes. I know Eve didn't have a Bible or a Torah or anything like that, but Adam and Eve walked with God. They saw him. They knew him intimately. They knew his words. We know in Matthew 4, we read the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness and his battle with Satan. The way Jesus won the battle was by battling him with the word of God, not his own interpretation of it. This is why we must know God's word, study it, memorize it, so we can battle Satan when he comes to deceive us. And if we don't, we're deceiving ourselves to thinking it'll be okay. If we're not equipping ourselves with his word and living it, then we are deceiving ourselves. Next slide, thanks, Jay. So for example, do we justify things that we know are not really godly? Things on TV, social media, movies, even books. Do we look at things and think they're close enough to what God has to say, or it's okay, God understands? If I watch this show, he knows I need some downtime. It won't matter if I watch this, read that, do this or say that. God loves me. Do you spend as much time in God's word and praying as you do watching Netflix? Now, I know I'm guilty of binge watching Netflix at times, as many of us are. So I ask myself, along with you, are we going to binge read the Bible too? Do we give God as much or more time than these false gods? Now, I'm not saying don't watch TV or social media. I'm saying be aware, be be discerning. Yes, God loves us, but do we love him enough to follow how he wants us to live our life? Pastor Michael said a few weeks ago, you can't expect God's best if you can't give him yours. I was listening. There were times when I was with my ex that I felt in my spirit something wasn't right. But he would always have an answer, a way of making things turn around. So I doubted myself. The self-doubt made me question him. Never made me question him, though, just like Eve didn't question the serpent. I was deceiving myself by believing the lie. Well, yes, I was in love, but I was also blinded by my own self-deception and by my insecurities. In verses 6 and 7, we see Eve was convinced to take the fruit. But what added to her being convinced through the justification of the serpent was desire. There were three things Eve desired. The tree looked beautiful. The fruit looked delicious. And she wanted wisdom. Sound familiar? Beauty, food, wisdom. Nothing has changed. As the saying goes, same horse, different jockey. Look at the advertising. The main things are beauty, food, and some form of intelligence or seeking some form of wisdom. By Eve keeping her eyes on what she desired and could get rather than on God and what he wanted, she was easily manipulated and deceived to take the fruit. Like a child, and many of you can relate to this, especially after church, like a child who wants chocolate. Although mum and dad have said no, their eyes are on that chocolate. And if someone says, well, here you go, have a chocolate, they'll take it and justify it. Their eyes are on their desire. We need to make sure our wants and desires don't become the object of our attention. We need to keep our eyes on God and what he wants. Galatians 6:3 says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." There is a third point of deception, and I want to make, I'm sorry, there's a third point of deception I want to make that was supposed to sound really just, and that is self-deception leads to deceiving others. Deception can change our lives and those around us, but not only in the here and now, but in the eternal life to come. And that concerns me greatly. Eve not only took the fruit, but then gave some to her husband. Eve became a deceiver through being deceived. Without fully understanding and keeping her eyes on God, the deception was carried through to devastating consequences for all of humanity. Thanks, Jay. Yep, oh, I love this slide. We see that today with prosperity preachers. They are obviously deceived, and they are deceiving millions of people. There are Bibles now that are being published with much of the text changed to suit social groups, certain social groups. There is even one being sold currently that was written by a man who did not translate it, but he wrote it. It was his interpretation. The name of this translation came about after he had a visitation from an angel called Passion. I admit I was deceived, and I recently bought a copy as well as another book that is up there with no picture on it. So the two without pictures are the ones I bought. The second one I bought, it was quite openly deceptive as well. And both were purchased at Coorong. Satan is laughing at all of us all the way to the bank with Christians who buy these things without really looking into the theology of the people who write the books. Colossians 2:8 in the ESV. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the eternal spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Next one. Thanks, Joe. Matt spoke last week about truth, and we need to be vigilant in finding the truth, keeping our eyes on the ultimate truth, Jesus. Adam and Eve felt shame once they realized what was happening and what had happened. Once you realize you've been deceived, you feel incredible shame. How could you have been so stupid to fall for it and go along with it when you know better? The shame they felt would not just be because they were aware they were physically naked, but spiritually and morally naked too. When you come out of being deceived, you feel so violated, naked, and vulnerable. There are many people today who come to deceive us in many ways. And we need to be discerning, not only in the secular world, but even in the Christian world today. Not to be complacent and keep check of ourselves by God's word. And as I said, there are many prosperity preachers out there. And I heard something very disturbing this week, and it's by a few people, so it's not just one person's thing, about a group of preachers who are actually on our TVs in the morning. And they partake in this thing that is known as grave soaking. Has anybody heard of what grave soaking? Right. So this is where they actually lay on the grave of a prominent preacher, a spiritual person, and they invite their spirit into them. And this is to, you know, improve their preaching. Some have laid on Moody's. And one person I heard said if Moody was alive, he probably would have punched them for that. So this one preacher that I heard of, he laid on the grave of Catherine Coleman and felt her spirit come into him. And since then, his ministry has grown. Deception. This is the doctrine of demons. They justify it by misusing the scripture of 1 Kings 17:17-24, where Elijah raises the widow's son as he lays on the dead boy. So again, justification. Other very disturbing things. There are things called Christ alignment destiny cards, which are tarot cards. There are Christianized Ouija boards. Christianized seances. Christians are now using these things, being deceived, justifying their use. New Age teaching and doctrine are sneaking into the churches. Mark 13:5-6 says, Jesus replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many." So, how do we stop being deceived and wake up to the world around us? Well, I've got 3 points, but I'm going to have a drink first. Hang on. Okay. So, my first point. Thanks, Jay. Yes. We must remember we are in constant spiritual battle. So, as my slide, Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." The battle begins in our minds, our thoughts becoming actions. Check your thoughts by speaking with God and reading His word daily. Like any good soldier, we must be in our battle fatigues at all time, ready to battle. So next one, Jay. And again, one of my favourites, Ephesians 6:13-18. "Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Do you see it right there? What we need to do. This scripture is one of the most powerful, and it tells us exactly what we need to do. We need to memorize this. We need to understand it, to do it, to live it. And then if our armor is polished and ready, it will be hard for us to be deceived. Our second point, well, my second point, don't be part of worldly things. Now, hear me. I'm not saying don't watch TV or, you know, social media or anything like that. I'm saying don't let them take your time over God. Make sure God comes first. Next slide. Thanks, Jay. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, as many of you know, I was a big Doctor Who fan, with some of you in here as well. However, a year ago, God ripped that away from me. Yes, it coincided with the doctor becoming a woman. And I realised that I had become too immersed in the Whovian culture and not immersed in God's. I have stopped watching the show for many reasons, and I've given away a lot of my memorabilia. Even my number plates are gone. But I am more mindful of putting God first in my life rather than the things of the world. I deceive myself into thinking, oh, it's okay. I could witness to other Whovians. I could use the show to reach the lost. Now, while that is true, I didn't witness or bring Christ into any Whovian conversation unless they were Christians. The difference between my ideal self and my actual self was huge. I was deceiving myself. And sometimes it's easier to fool yourself, and you just need that one person to justify it, even if it's yourself. And then you're hooked in the deception. Next slide. Thanks, Jay. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. And Deuteronomy 11:16. But be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. Satan is not subtle anymore. He is blatantly deceiving many, making himself seem harmless and even desirable and glorifying evil. Clothes for children from Disney. I'm going to hear a rah from this side, but anyway. There's clothes from children's clothes from Disney saying, evil never looks so good. Harmless? Or dulling your minds to evil? The show Lucifer on Netflix. Now, this is a blatant lie. This show is about Lucifer Morningstar, the devil, who is bored and unhappy as the Lord of Hell. He resigns his throne and abandons his kingdom for Los Angeles, where he ends up running a nightclub called Lux. He becomes involved in a murder case, you probably organised that, with Detective Chloe Decker, and is subsequently invited to be a consultant to the LAPD. I mean, seriously. Of course, the actor playing him is handsome and charming, which I expect the Antichrist to be. So this show is saying the LAPD has Satan as its consultant, let alone these people he helps. Well, I can't say he's saving them from an eternal damnation, can I? Now, before lovers of the show attack me, I'm not saying don't watch the show, but seriously, how much more blatant and in your face is Satan getting? He is keeping people in the dark and keeping non-Christians in the dark, because if they watch that, they're just going to, you know, fall for the lie. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, who keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Stay focused on Jesus, the true and bright morning star. Next slide. Thanks, Jay. So my third point, be mindful and an eternal thinker. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, we need to be on our guard at all the time. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to meet a roaring lion like that looking for someone to devour. I'd be running the other way. And that's exactly what you've got to do. We need to be cautious, though, and we've got to walk that narrow road so we don't sway off course and we don't want to become too legalistic or too liberal. Next one. Thanks, Jay. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. We need to keep our eyes on the prize. And a few people have been speaking about that now. So what is the prize? Life eternal with God. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Could the band please come up, please? Dr. Michael Youssef said in The Same Old Trick, it's important that we understand that our enemy, the devil, is not very creative. Satan is not an original thinker, and he has no new ideas. If you study the Bible and human history, you'll see that he has only one trick up his sleeve, and he relies on it over and over again. In every generation, he dresses it up and tries to sell it as a new idea, but it's the same deception he used in the Garden of Eden. Don't be complacent. Don't think it won't happen to you, because that's exactly when it will happen. Be alert to your own actions. Be accountable. Be discerning. Last slide. Thanks, Jay. 2 Samuel 22:35a says, so let us model the mindset and behavior of a spiritual warrior. Let us drench our minds with the truth of God's word and not allow Satan a foothold. As it said in the opening, our minds deceive us every day. They bend reality to make it be whatever we want it to be, whatever we need it to be, simply to make sense, to make it all make sense, even when it doesn't. Are you being deceived? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this word today. Forgive us if we have been deceived by spiritual enemies or by ourselves. Help us to seek the truth, which is you, Jesus. Help us to want you more in our lives and to live our lives more for you. Bless us all now throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.